97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo and Chad Ellis here in studio. We are also connected with Bo Matthews, of course, my co-host, who is practicing proper social distancing. And if you heard this week's show, you know that Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County joined us on the show, and he continues that discussion now on the podcast exclusive. Sheriff, thanks for putting a little overtime with us.
Oh, it's always great to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, and I want to say a big thank you to everyone who is listening to this right now for downloading this podcast. If you're hearing us, it's only because you took the time out of your day to download this podcast, so we greatly, greatly appreciate it. Of course, we put out two podcasts of this show every week. We release the actual show podcast on Fridays, and that's before the show even airs on the radio, so you can have early access. People have asked me before, like, why do you put the show out before it even airs? Isn't that sort of backwards? And it is. And we do a lot of things backwards here on this show. But the reason that we made that decision is so much of the time we are talking about the great outdoors. We're talking about fishing, and we're talking about hunting, and we're talking about camping, and that. Those activities, by and large, happen over the weekend, and we want you to be able to listen to this show and listen to us talk about those things on your time, while you're out doing those things. Like, we want you to be able to podcast a show while you're out on your boat fishing, or you're camping, or whatever. So we release it before the show even airs, so you have it with you all weekend long, and you can listen to it on your time. And then, of course, on Mondays, we release this one, the podcast exclusive, where we get a chance to sort of expand the conversation with some of our great guests, like Sheriff Dave Marshak. So that's kind of the thought process behind that. Go ahead.
Hey, I appreciate it. And there's probably quite a few people traveling over the weekend going to their favorite hunting spot, because Monday is opening day of turkey season.
Yeah. So you bring up an interesting point there. Early on, when all the things started closing, Sheriff, when businesses were closing and movie theaters were closing and bowling alleys and no more concerts to go to, the government officials were saying, "But parks are still open. Go out, visit visit your local park, take your dog for a walk, get some exercise, go to the lake or the pond that's in your park and go fishing." In Missouri, Conservation Department even suspended the enforcement of fishing license for a period of time, so people could go out and go fishing and not have to worry about having their fishing license or not. But then in some areas, after being told, hey, go to parks, officials were saying, there's too many people in these parks. We got to close the parks, so we got to start enforcing some rules. What is happening as far as that is concerned down there in Jefferson County? Are the parks all still open? Are there any special rules that people need to know about when they're out and about in those areas?
No, we've kind of talked about it before. These are social contracts. Law enforcement's not taking an active role in measuring the distance between two persons. We encourage everybody to be outside, and our parks are open. There's plenty of space out here in Jefferson County, and if you choose to get outside of some of those harsher restrictions in St. Louis County, come on down and enjoy some freedom. For us, we want people to enjoy the outdoors, especially this time of year, and so we encourage them. Our parks are open. There's plenty of hiking trails and walking trails, and plenty of people down here that own property, so they can have a little bit of time in the outdoors.
Bo, you should.
What's really cool, I think, is the telecheck. Have you done this? The Missouri Department of Conservation website has telechecking, so you don't have to go to a place to check in your game.
Yeah, I've been doing it for years for both deer and turkey hunting.
Wow!
And what a great week it's going to be to be outside. So I hope. Certainly don't have so many restrictions, and they allow people to hunt on public land moving forward.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Bo, you should open up. Bo's got 350 acres down there in Jefferson County, and you should open up the Matthews compound As,
nope, it's all for me. And I'm married to a vegetarian, so it's really all for me.
That's funny. So, well, sure.
Hey, if you need us to kind of thin the herd a little bit for those animals that are eating all those plants, you let us know.
There you go.
You know, it's so funny you say that. You know, the first responders of Jefferson County are awesome. 2002, I'm getting married in my backyard. It was a heavy rain at the wedding party in the backyard. We were going to have a bonfire, and it was soaking wet. High Ridge Fire calls, says, you know, we also start fires. I'm like, wow, that is awesome.
Oh, that's cool. That's very
okay,
cool.
Okay, Sheriff, I'll take you up on that if I need to.
Yeah. Hey, just let me know. I don't want them eating all your plants for your wife.
Yeah.
So, Sheriff, we were talking on the show about some, stories around the country that, you know, you hear about somebody getting pulled over by a police officer and, you know, getting a ticket because they're out when they're not supposed to be. And while those stories suck, and I understand how they can create a little bit of fear, nothing like that is happening around this area. Certainly not there in Jefferson County. And like you said on the show, and we've talked to many members of law enforcement in all different parts of our metro area, and that is just not something that is happening here. So that is not a concern. What about things
it's
like...
Not a concern.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's not a concern yet, but listen... You know, in times like this, we need to really, and, you know, we have to push back a little bit. And I think there always needs to be a healthy disrespect for government. Even the fact that I'm an elected official and I'm in a government position and I've taken an oath, I think there needs to be a healthy disrespect. We need to still pay attention and watch government and don't give them free access to do whatever they want. And the concern probably is for some mayors who are a little overzealous, who want to implement their own policies and maybe have that thumb over a police chief or something. That's a concern, and I think we should watch out for that. So while it's not happening, there's always the possibility or potential that we'll get an overzealous mayor or leader that has that control and the ability to do that. And that's a concern. But moving forward, I think we'll be okay, but it is a concern.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that goes for all times of the year and under any environment, not just under this unique coronavirus situation that we're going through. What about, Sheriff, what about things like, you know, no more than 10 people at a house gathering? I've mentioned on the radio that I've seen, you know, over the last few weekends, especially when we've had some nice days, that there are people in my subdivision having barbecues. And it certainly looks like there could be more than 10 people, at somebody's house or in somebody's backyard. Or you walk into a convenience store and there's a sign on the window that says, you know, no more than 10 people allowed in here at once. But there doesn't seem to be anybody checking, and, you know, and I've definitely seen, you know, more than 10 people. Are officers there in Jefferson County or anywhere in the area that you would be familiar with, are you actively looking to break those types of things up, or is that not what you're spending your time doing?
No, the answer is no. And those are public health investigations, and they're usually handled by the Department of Health. For our perspective, it's not a law enforcement necessity that requires law enforcement resources. I think over the years, law enforcement resources have been used in such a way to enforce political policies. And I don't know that this is a situation in which we want to put a law enforcement officer there that, you know, could end up in a confrontation over something that is, you know, a public, public health issue, I guess is the best way to determine it. And, I don't see that happening for our officers, and I haven't heard of it happening anywhere else locally. I'm familiar with cases on both the East and West Coast, but I think as we move forward, you know, we have to remember that we're part of the community too, and we're still going to have to police these citizens when this is over, and I don't know that now is a good time to be breaking that trust simply to enforce a 6-foot rule, and I would disagree with law enforcement officers doing that.
Do you ever get a call? I mean, because, you know, we've unfortunately we have also heard stories of people you know, that want to take advantage of the current situation. And maybe, you know, you have a neighbor that, you know, that doesn't like you, or, you know, there's a couple of neighbors that, you know, just generally don't get along. So they're always looking for the opportunity to sort of rat on or tell on the other person. So they, you know, they see 10 people in their backyard and they're like, oh, this is my chance to, you know, gig them a little bit. And have you gotten any calls like that of people saying like, hey, my down the street from me, it looks like there's more than 10 people there. You guys should go check it out. Have you gotten any of those calls? And if so, how do you handle them?
So we've had both calls and emails, people concerned about gatherings. And again, it's not our role and responsibility to go to a private residence and count the number of persons that are there. We're not going to measure the distance between two parties. That's not our role and responsibility. So we had had those calls, and you know, we simply offer our response as such. The fact is, we have other things going on that have not stopped. There's criminal activity that continues to happen. There's legitimate requests for law enforcement resources. And, you know, we're also in a situation where we kind of isolate our officers. So if we do have a contamination, that there's not cross-contamination. We have to have a healthy number of police officers available to answer those calls for service. So, you know, again, we would prioritize our calls for service, and that's not a priority. It's up to individuals to take action, to follow some of the CDC guidelines. But it's not really the role for law enforcement to be participating in some of those activities.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sheriff, a couple of weeks ago, we were seeing headlines of low-level nonviolent criminals being released from jails or prisons around the country. Yeah. Is that something you can speak about? This is the podcast exclusive, so it's only special people that are going to hear it. But is there truth to that?
Yeah, there is truth. And unfortunately, in some areas, they've taken a huge amount of discretion in the number of people that they've let out. Mm-hmm. They've let out career criminals who, through as a result of bond reform, have already been in and out of the system. Those people are out there. You know, when we talk about that on Second Amendment Radio, the need to protect yourself and the ability to protect yourself. But I will tell you that the thieves and burglars are out there because they're classified as lower-level offenders. And, you know, what's unfortunate about that is, you know, they might have taken a plea deal. They might be violent offenders, and they took a plea deal for a lower level offense. And now, as a result of some of the activity that's going on, be kicked out of the system. And so the needs for the jails, they need to find a balance before they start massively, you know, reducing their jail populations and sending that out into the population for the good citizens to have to deal with.
So we've had to do this in the Midwest, or you know, like your jail, or you know, Francis County, or St. Francis County, or St. Louis County. They've had to do that.
Yeah, all the jails have reduced the population in an effort to give themselves the space. Now, why that is? It's not because you know, law enforcement officers want to push people out of their jail. They have to do they have to do a number of different things, and this is where it's going to get sad. They have to do a number of different things to articulate steps that they took in case there is an outbreak in their jail and somebody dies there, because then it's going to end up in litigation. And so from an you know, administrative standpoint, you'll be able to argue that we did, you know, step one, two, three, four, five down the line to make sure our inmates are safe. But undoubtedly, and you're starting to see you're starting to see some lawsuits as a result of some of these actions, and they're starting, you know, people are suing nursing homes saying, well, the nursing home didn't take, you know, all these actions, and as a result, you know, I had a relative die. Those are going to start popping up in these jails very quickly. So from a leadership perspective, we have to take some action. For us, the sheriff's office did not play a role in terms of who was released, but I know that there was some court activity to move cases faster to get some lower level offenders out. And I'm pretty sure that's happened over the entire country to make sure there is quarantine space for inmates.
Yeah. And ultimately, and I'm glad you mentioned
that. Even if you don't like them, you're responsible to protect their constitutional rights, too. Most of them are pretrial detainees. They haven't been convicted yet.
Right. And I think we all have, you know, levels of issue with just letting people out of jail.
Absolutely.
But did you have a question, Chad?
I do. So what kind of comfort would you give the individuals that these low capacity crimes yeah. people are going to continue to do? Because like this, literally this weekend that just passed, my car was broken into. Well, it wasn't really broken into because I left the door unlocked, but I normally always leave it unlocked.
You were robbed.
But they stole the most stupidest thing to me. Like they stole 3 flash drives and a lighter. Like, what can you do with 3 flash drives and a lighter? Like, right. you might as well didn't take anything.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's frustrating from a law enforcement perspective, and it's frustrating as a citizen to know this is happening. And I will tell you, those are very difficult decisions from leaders across the country. Nobody wants to release offenders back into the system where they're going to continue to commit crimes. But the reality was, we know that we also have a fiscal responsibility to our organizations to mitigate the lawsuits, and that's really what part of it's about. I don't subscribe to, these poor inmates. That's not consistent with how we view things. But I will tell you, I also have a responsibility to maintain the health of those inmates that are inside of our facility, and at the same time, protect us from civil litigation. And that's why some of those steps were taken. But it is not a decision sometimes that we're happy with, because we're more interested in public safety than the latter part.
Sheriff, one more question before we wrap this up. What about overall public opinion? I think for a good while there, for the first, several weeks that we've been going through this, I think by and large, while there have been some folks out there that think that these measures are too extreme, I think by and large, most people understood why schools and stores and businesses had to shut down for a while. But now we're seeing just this week in Ohio, people protesting at the state house there, protesting the governor, saying, look, it's time for us to get back to work. We saw the same thing happen in Michigan this week. From what you can tell, where is the public sentiment on this? Are people getting a little antsy and kind of ready to get back to work and open things back up? Or by and large, are they still, fine with where we're at?
I'm seeing both sides of it. You know, locally here in Hillsboro on Monday, there is a car protest driving through the city of Hillsboro to protest our county executive, not happy about the stay home order. I will tell you that, there needs to be a plan in place. We need some resources, I think, for our community in terms of personal protection equipment to give people the opportunity to protect themselves. And there needs to be a plan moving forward so we can start opening some of these businesses. Our economy cannot function if we continue to just give away money and we don't support some of these business owners. They're going to fail. And then you'll see some huge problems as a result of it. And I think they're going to be far worse. If we don't address this, they're going to be far worse than we're seeing right now. I'm very concerned. I'm optimistic, but I think we need to start getting and come up with a plan for people to get back to work, give them the supplies they need to protect themselves, but give an opportunity to some of these business owners to move forward, because the alternative is not good.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, my opinion is, we're having to let out, some of these people in jail, and there's no jobs for them to go get in a lot of cases. So it's just a double-edged sword on so many levels, but definitely thank you for sharing those thoughts about that specific issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no problem, guys. I think, we're gonna get through this. We've got some challenges ahead of us, but I believe that, most of us are on the same page. And as a fiscal conservative, we have to look at the economic impact of this. And at some point, make the tough decisions, just as we are now, but make tough decisions to move our country forward. And I think we're approaching a danger zone where if we don't do something pretty soon, we're going to be in real trouble.
You're right.
Good stuff. Always great information. Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. Sheriff, thanks so much for your time on the show today and also on the podcast exclusive here. We appreciate everything you do for us and hope to talk to you again real soon. Stay safe, sir.
Have a good day. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast exclusive. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast. Hopefully you're downloading both podcasts that we release every single week. We certainly really, really appreciate all of your support. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to another edition of the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Be safe, boys. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
Get more at 971talk.com.